This is Non-Duality Street on CKDU 88.1 FM in Halifax. I'm Jerry Katz. My guest today is Vicki Woodyard, whose website is VickiWoodyard.com, VickiWoodyard. Vicki made three MP3s just for Non-Duality Street. I first met Vicki about 8 years ago when she joined my email forum, Non-Duality Salon. I became aware of her presence at once when she submitted an essay entitled The Ultimate Intimacy. Let me read a paragraph from that essay. Knowing yourself as the self is the ultimate intimacy. Unconditional love for yourself arises. You don't do anything but sit in the silence, inviting peace. I usually say, I am in God's presence now, and relax into the silence that is always immediately there. It took me a long time to get to this place. I studied truth for years and years, and then one day I had effortless access, sort of like an ATM machine with no limits. And that's Vicki Woodyard, and that writing clues us into Vicki, her intimacy with the ultimate, and her sense of humor. What gives her writing and speaking traction is her experience of grief and loss. Vicki wrote recently in her blog, "In our culture, grief and loss are often ignored, particularly in online non-duality. I became a writer while in the process of losing my husband to a fatal cancer. I, apparently, was the only one going through such an ordeal that was willing to write about it. It was considered poor form by many whose main goal was to rise above all personal identification. But these days I notice that more and more non-duality proponents are undergoing necessary losses and being more open about it. That is a good thing, for awareness of grief is the same as awareness of not grief. The witness does its job, and the personal self, although essentially unreal, is in the dark night of the soul. Someone needs to notice, because the veil has temporarily dropped." That's Vicki Woodyard from her blog. You'll hear Vicki talk about her life, spiritual teachers, non-duality, fear, anxiety, silence, the nature of enlightenment, and paradox. Vicki leads you in a meditation in the second half of the show.
Hi, this is Vicki Woodyard, and Jerry asked me to say a little bit about myself and perhaps give my slant on what non-duality is. I've had a website, Nurturing the Now, online for about 10 years. I started it when my husband was diagnosed with multiple myeloma as a support system for him, and backed into the discovery that I had a voice that I wanted to share. And that voice has mainly taken the form of essays, many of which have been posted on Jerry's Non-Duality Salon's Yahoo list. I've always said it was God's little joke on me that when I write, I just let it all hang out, because I'm a very private person normally. I'm a Scorpio, and, you know, Scorpios are secretive. But when I write, it is from my intuition. I'm not going to say it's guided, because I feel like it's just an intuitive voice that I give free rein to. I studied with Vernon Howard, who taught in Boulder City, Nevada for about 20 years. He was a very strict teacher. Maybe you could compare him to U.G. Krishnamurti in that he just didn't suffer fools gladly. He dealt the truth out, and if you didn't like it, you were free to get up and leave. And a lot of people would get up and leave right in the middle of one of his lectures. To me, it was a way of separating the sheep from the goats. and if you stuck around, you got the really good stuff. So I gravitated to a very fierce teacher, but he was not from the East. He was an American. And so he did away with all the Eastern terminology like guru and ashram and stuff like that. He just told it like it was, and I like that about him. For me to speak about non-duality is to be like grasping mercury in my hands. It can't be done. It's bigger than a bread box. It's bigger than all of us put together. Ultimately, it is the void from which all knowledge arises. You have to go to that place where you are not. There's a saying I love that says, rest in the void. The void takes care of its own. It is prior to knowledge, beyond words and thoughts, as Joel Goldsmith said. It is the place in you where there is no division. It is an energetic experience of wholeness. In my work, I talk about wholeness, which to me is the same thing as being non-dual. It's just being the totality of who you are. And you go to that place that Rumi calls the field out beyond right and wrong. You go to that place that is beyond the grasp of the intellect. Monkey mind can't go there. It's beyond that. It's not intellectual. And so sometimes I get very weary of people who want to discuss non-duality ad nauseum, because it's beyond discussion. It's an experience. It's an experience. So silence is key in my life. Silence is the place I go to experience wholeness. And I have sent along a couple of MP3s for Jerry to play. All of my MP3s arise from silence. I don't ever know what I'm going to say. I just turn on the recorder and say it. Usually, it's okay. I'm okay with it and don't edit. And that's how I've made this recording I'm doing now. I'm just sitting here letting words arise. Humor is very important in my writing and speaking. I used to be a comedy writer, crafted one-liners, and now if you visit my website, Nurturing the Now, I have a page called Mystical Bliss that is filled with one-liners that I have generated. And one of them is, straight is the way and narrow is the gate, and the ego is a double wide. And that's just how it is. We come equipped with egos. We need them when we're first shoved into this world. And on the path, you learn how to deconstruct the ego, how to disentangle, how to untie the knots. And Ramana Maharshi and Nisargadatta are the two classic Advaita Vedanta teachers that we all respect, that we all refer to. But my teacher, Vernon Howard, taught the same thing, just in English. He said, there's a true self and a false self. The false self is the ego, and the true self is your essence, you and your non-duality. So, I hope I haven't gotten anybody to turn off their set or turn off the dial, but it's a free country. So I'm going to turn it back over to Jerry Katz, and maybe he'll play another MP3 or two of mine. Thanks for listening. Oh, and I will say I've got a book coming out, and it's called Life with a Hole in It. That's how the light gets in. And so there'll be more information about that as it comes out. Thanks for listening.
And that's Vicki Woodyard, who lives in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm going to play another recording she did in just a second. Vicki mentioned several teachers, her own Vernon Howard, U.G. Krishnamurti, Joel Goldsmith, Rumi, Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta Maharaj, all these teachers, or any one or two of them, is sufficient to be anyone's life teacher. And there are other teachers that we have introduced and will introduce on Non-Duality Street. Our teacher today is Vicky Woodyard herself. Vicky said that non-duality is beyond discussion. And what does that leave us? Listen for the one word that describes what it is.
I have always been a very vulnerable person. Starting at the age of about 13, I had panic attacks and agoraphobia constantly. But I didn't know that's what I was suffering from. There was not a name for it back in the 50s. I still have a great deal of anxiety running through my system on any given day. And yet, I live in a place of deep peace. Now, there's a paradox for you. Paradox is the point of power, you know. So you have to, you know, buy the premise, buy the bit. You have to buy that I'm anxious just from the way I'm wired, and that I'm deeply peaceful in an energy field kind of way. The book I've written, Life with a Hole in It, That's How the Light Gets In, is written from that point of view. I was on the spiritual path when my husband was diagnosed with multiple myeloma, which is cancer of the bone marrow, and it is fatal. His prognosis was less than 3 years, and we'd already lost our daughter to a childhood cancer when she was 7. So by this time, I had good reason for my anxiety, but I was also on the path. And I've always been a comedy writer. I never will forget Gary Shandling saying on television that he had to risk being boring. He had to sort of go there, be willing to go there and take his audience with him so that he might stumble on funny. And in a sense, that's where all my writing and speaking comes from, that awkward place of anxiety and peace, knowing that I will begin in anxiety and will bump into some clarity along the way. But only if I go to the place of fear, and I invite you to come along with me. Bring your fear. It's welcome here. Bring your anxiety. Nothing rhymes with anxiety. So, his cancer and my daughter's cancer sort of broke my emotional back. And yet I discovered that wholeness is who I am, that peace is my nature. I am not, I repeat, I am not of the school that says, well, if you're enlightened, why ain't you this or that? If you are enlightened, how come you still got these big, obvious flaws? And to that, I have one word to say, piffle, double piffle. The experience of being in a body on planet Earth is daunting at best. And once the fabric of your life has been rent, torn, the light will come in to illuminate your darkness. But the darkness sort of hangs out forever, just like the light. It's the old paradox thing again. So what makes me think that I have the right to take up your time? I don't. And clearly you don't have the right to take up mine, because I can't even see you. You can hear me, but I have no idea what your thoughts are at the moment, except she's probably a nutcase. She's not perfect, so I don't need to listen to her. And yet I keep on putting it out there for anybody with ears to hear. My wholeness is intact. The anxiety, and I think I was just genetically wired that way, is perfectly awful and perfectly planned for this being who happens to be called Vicky. I put the message out there that we're all broken, but it's going to be okay. Wholeness can't be broken. I'm only broken within the dream. all of my MP3s are short. I always wrote one-liners. I like things to be pithy, terse and pithy. That's just how I write. That's just how I roll. Go ahead and make fun of me, because I do. There have been enough tears in my lifetime to float a raft over, you know, over the falls and through the woods into grandmother's house or whatever, wherever you're going. When I turn on the recorder, it's ad lib. It's from the intuitive spirit. Anne Lamott says you can put a straw into the Mississippi River and the whole power of the river will flow through that straw if it's put in the right direction. And I'm just a little straw in the mighty Mississippi. What I want the listener to do is to shift with me. I want the listener to go from their anxiety into peace. And there is a way to do that. The way is to have the conscious intention to shift. I usually take an audible breath like so and say, shift with me now down into who you really are. Wholeness, that's your nature. By law, that's your nature and that's my nature. And so here we are. I've taken you on this journey. The recorder's been on 7 minutes and 18 seconds and going forward. I've probably made you a little bit uncomfortable because I've made me a little uncomfortable. But heck, it didn't cost you anything. This is free. You can be taken on this journey for free. Of course, you pay for it. You know, we pay for our anxiety dearly. That's why I am constantly at the still point, constantly returning to the silence that I am to get all that anxiety out of my system. So if you're interested in what I have to say, come and listen to me at my website, Nurturing the Now. I appreciate any set of ears that will stop by and listen, because who knows what I might say next.
And that was Vicki Woodyard giving some shots of reality. Vicki's website is vickiwoodyard.com. And it's called Nurturing the Now. At that website, you can hear more MP3s and read Vicki's essays and blog and soon buy her book. Previously, Vicki mentioned her teacher, Vernon Howard, who was a very bottom-line teacher. And to give you a sense of that, I want to read something Howard wrote. It's from the website for Vernon Howard called anewlife.org. And this writing is called Look Up. It's an exercise. Look up. Vernon Howard writes, "Do this exercise, please. It will take you time to get it, but repeat it over and over. Something bothers you, such as a remembrance of a shameful thing, a confusion. Instead of trying to think your way out of that difficulty, whatever it is, you're going to remind yourself to look up. And even do it physically by raising your head. This is a cooperation between the mental and the physical, and that's good. Now, you've got two parts of you working for you. Look up is both a symbolic and spiritual reminder for you to go to the higher world instead of staying where you are. Simple as it is, it will be very effective for you. All the little parts will come together, and it will be quite clear to you what self-salvation means." That's Vernon Howard. Here's another writing from Howard called Watch Your Mind. "In the middle of any day, sit on your couch and watch your mind operate and see that there is nothing you can do about it. That is where you get the knowledge that you can't turn yourself off. Just see that your mind is churning and you can do nothing about it." Those are a couple of writings from Vicki Woodyard's teacher, Vernon Howard. Now here's Vicki leading you into meditation. So listen, relax, breathe.
I thought what I would do now is take us on a little trip like I do when I make my MP3s, except I'm doing this for the radio listeners. I'll try to be serious. But I just want to show you how I make an MP3. I'm sitting here in my chair in the bedroom, and I've in my hand I've got this little Olympus recorder. And from this point on, I don't know what I will say. The first thing I want you to do is take that audible breath. Just let yourself sink down into the chair or bed, wherever you are, and just know that you're listening to my voice and that I've asked you to breathe and hear yourself breathe. Because what we want to do is to sink down into who we really are, which is wholeness. This is a state of being that is always available. But once we get up in the morning and hit the ground running, we forget. We run on automatic pilot all day long. Even if we're on the path, we do this. We need to give ourselves conscious instructions or jolts, such as saying, "Who am I?" to remind us that we are not our anxiety. We are not our worries or our monkey minds. We are that self that we are being together right now. Right now, there is an energy field active between us, powerful, all-encompassing. And it is to this field that we are called to do our inner work. We are coming to the still point where we can just simply be. Let go and just be. You're without a name and form. You're without boundaries. You're the outermost out and the innermost in. You are being, you are consciousness, you are bliss. Claim that, know that. Because soon, the waters will roll over you again and you'll be back in the world listening to your crazy mind. You see, I'm not inviting the monkey mind in on this little tete-a-tete. It's just wholeness talking to wholeness. And monkey mind can't be here. No way can it be here. Now, I've brought us to the still point, to the place where Gary took his audience, where he had to risk something. He had to risk being nobody. He had to risk having nothing to save his bacon, if you will. Grace, call it grace. It's here and now, and you are it. And this is how we change the world, by changing our own consciousness. Thanks for going on this journey with me.
Blame what you are, consciousness, being, bliss, or whatever you understand that to be. Take your stand in what you really are. Risk being nobody, Vicky says. Today on Non-Duality Street, we heard from Vicky Woodyard, whose website is vickywoodyard.com. I want to thank Vicky for being my guest. We have time to read an essay by Vicky. It's called Inchworm. The inchworm of my mind was crawling across the surface of my life, which is invariably a problem of one kind or another. Faithfully and daily, it inches along, cautiously humping across the bumps of whatever dilemma I seem to be facing. It is very wee and tenuous, yet how it perseveres. As small as this tiny insect is, it is greatly honored and esteemed by its colleagues. These compadres comprise the holy ruler of the inchworm kingdom. I sit in my comfortable chair and read books that have made the bestseller lists. Inchworms, as small as they are, write and publish most of the books. Their power comes from complacency, or so I have been told. My own private inchworm belongs to a secret, invisible network of other similarly defogged bugs. We do inchwork for the man. Who he is, I have no idea. It is said that he is a brain, much like the one in The Wizard of Oz. I always know when my inchworm is at work. I feel more and more stressed. If he gives me a neck ache, I know that he is really covering ground. Sadly, the harder he works, the more complicated the problem of the day gets. But I seem to have no other solution to my dilemma. And this may sound silly, but a yardworm might work better than an inchworm. It's just that they do not come in that size. One of my biggest problems is in believing that I have problems that need to be solved. And this is what gets the inchworm started moving over the problem in my brain. I can feel his furriness as he inches along. Once I read a book written by someone who purports to know how to really solve my problems. He said that I don't have to get rid of my inchworm. I just have to look up. If I do that, the inchworm will fall off my head. That's Vicki Woodyard, and I'll leave you with a one-liner from VickiWoodyard.com. The flow will find you when it needs you. In between, relax.